Welcome to Dakota Midday. I'm Lori Walsh. On October 8, 1954, President Dwight D. Eisenhower issued the first Veterans Day proclamation. It's one day set aside each November, honoring those who have served and continue to serve our nation. So let's talk about veterans today. Who better for that conversation than South Dakota's Secretary of Veterans Affairs, Larry Zimmerman. He joins us now from somewhere outside Bear Butte. Larry Zimmerman, welcome to Dakota Midday.
Lori, thank you for having me. It's exciting to be here on a great, momentous Marine birthday.
Well, thank you very much. I don't feel a day over 240.
So, and you don't look it.
I was waiting for that. So I've been hearing your name a lot lately out in Hot Springs, where you were there at the Michael J. Fitzmaurice Home for Veterans not too long ago. Somebody told me they met with you yesterday, maybe in Sioux Falls for a veterans court something. So you're kind of canvassing the state this week. Tell me what you've been up to.
Well, it's an interesting week, an extra interesting few days. I went to the Minnehaha County Veterans Court, and it was somewhat of a celebration. They have four veterans that are going through that process, and each one of them is a hero that's had issues over time, and that court is helping them find their way. And that was exciting to be a part of that. And when I drove back last night, today I went to the Newell Schools, tomorrow the Spearfish Schools, Saturday Ellsworth Air Force Base, Air and Space Museum, and then Saturday afternoon at Black Hill State football game. But on the way back from Newell, I stopped in the shadows of Bear Butte, and it's just looking over the Black Hills and Bear Butte's kind of a cool place to be sitting.
Let's talk a little bit about your bucket list. I'm looking at a column that you put together, and it talks about a veteran's bucket list, and I'll let you sort of tell me where that idea came from and how it might be of value to all of us.
We've talked many times. I just think it's important for the world to teach their children and for these new generations to know what veterans have done and to thank them for their service. So we all have that bucket list of the special things we want to do. And I think daily American citizens can sit up and just think, oh, my God, I have had people fight for my freedoms my whole life and will the rest of my life. I find it interesting. I found a little factoid the other day. 41.8 million veterans have stepped up in time of war since 1775. Hmm. What a vast amount of Americans, including yourself and I, that have raised their right hand and said, yes, I want to protect my country.
I was able to sit in on an enlistment ceremony at the MEP station in Sioux Falls a couple weeks ago, and it still sort of brings chills to see these 17, 18-year-old kids raise their hand and hear the speech about what they're about to commit themselves to, and then to step forward and do it. One of the things the captain there asked them was, do you have the support of your family? So even when someone's heading off to basic training, asking for that support, what are some of the ways do you think that we can support our veterans who are serving now and who served long ago?
Well, I think a recognition of service and a thanking them for their service. You have to remember, there's so many of our veterans are what I call the invisible. They don't have the uniform on anymore. They may not wear a hat. So I think we as the public need to seek them out, ask them if they served in the military, and then listen to their stories and log their stories and protect them and save them for the future. Because, you know, we have no World War I veterans left in the world, and our World War II are dwindling. And so finding out what they did, how they served their country, and thanking them is a huge, huge thing. And all of them have a story, and it's interesting to listen to them.
Maybe I've told this story before to you, but I had an uncle who was a World War II veteran, and when I came back from the Philippines, my aunt said, you know, your Uncle Don was in the Philippines. And I said, oh, you know, where are you at? And he told me, and I said, did you get down to Alangapo? Because that's where I was. And he smiled and said, no, there were some Japanese in the way. And I'll never forget that moment of just, he was getting my goat right there. I was so young and so out of touch with what he had done. His experience in the Philippines was just a touch different than mine, and hadn't put that perspective into it yet. So there's one story for out of many.
Out of millions.
Yeah. Speaking of that, Tom, go ahead.
Well, my father served over in New Guinea and spent 4 years overseas with just letters back home, and my mother waited for him. And you know what? I am ashamed. I didn't get enough of those stories. And, of course, he didn't talk about them. And then after he passed, I learned more about him and his service. So we all need to do that while they're still around to talk to him today.
How do you collect your own stories?
My personal ones?
Mm-hmm, yes. Stories. Do you share those with people?
You try to, and again, I think that's the key in my couple of speeches I'm giving. I'm talking to the children and students to push them to go pursue the veteran, because a lot of times, as many books as there are and as many opportunities as the veteran may have to give their story, they almost need to be pushed into it. And, you know, I had a diary when I was over in Afghanistan, and you track the days and you track the different significant events while you're there. And I think people need to push those veterans into talking about those things.
Some reports say that as many as 22 veterans commit suicide per day, highest rate being within a few years of getting out of the service. What sort of impact can we have in South Dakota in just reaching out where we are close to home and preventing that or addressing it?
You know, for your listening audience, Lori, it's interesting. We do hear that 22 a day, and I truly believe it. I just finished getting a study for our own state, and for the last 5 years, two per month, veterans in South Dakota have taken their lives. Two per month for the last 5 years, and I want to do everything I can to prevent that. But you have to, as we've always said, find that last person, the last squad, and communicate constantly of places to go, resources available. And, you know, if I can save one of those lives, it's worth everything we put into it.
Right before I walked into the studio, someone handed me this news release about the VA Black Hills, federal, not state organization, of course, but healthcare system and their environmental impact statement. I haven't had a time to really look at that, but I know it's something that you would be concerned about long term. Too soon to ask you about that, or do you have something you want to mention regarding what they're releasing today?
I've gotten a call and have seen the press releases. They're considering it's the final copy of the EIS. I'm pretty sure Secretary McDonald within weeks will give a final decision on that whole situation in Hot Springs. I know no matter what that news is, good or bad, we get some great news about a call center up there that's going to hire 120 GS civil service employees, VA employees, to help answer veterans' questions and help them enroll. So the EIS study, we've been waiting for this for years, Lori, and it is a federal issue, but very, very concerning with the hundreds of employees that work for the VA up there, and all anxious to hear that answer.
I'm sure we'll be talking about that in the future, or maybe even next week. What are some of the South Dakota success stories that you want to share today? Just some of the programs that are going really well in the state through State Veterans Affairs.
Well, of course, the pinnacle or the greatest story and the legacy for this administration and when Round started is our state veterans home that sits in Hot Springs, $43+ million facility, and takes care of our aging and aged veterans and is their home to come for maybe their final home. That's a huge success. Another thing that I've started, and you mentioned the suicides, but I've started for every military member, veteran, and their families. And, Lori, we have 272,000 of those in the state.
Wow.
That's veterans, military members, which would be Ellsworth and your Air and Army Guard and active duty and reserve, and then their family members. And we've got a South Dakota joining forces that started July 1, and Dr. Bill Myro is traveling the state. We've been to 19 or 20 communities. Part of it is I want someone in all 300-plus communities in the state knowing where to go and who to call and what the resources are. It could be a police dispatch center. It could be the Ministerial Association. It could be, as Watertown has, a Sea of Goodwill. But it's for all of those people, those 272,000 people, to have an idea of what's a resource for a young person that's having suicidal ideations, of a veteran or a military family, or the veterans themselves, or where is it that I go for this health, education, and different benefits that are available. So we want to build it from the ground up within the communities. And let them best decide how that is. What does Belfouche need? What does Mitchell, South Dakota need? What does Aberdeen need? And let them build their own system of not so much notification, but of a resource center for all those people.
Do you have two questions here, kind of separate. One, do you have a bucket list of your own of things legislatively that you want to see happen, things administratively that you want to see happen beyond what you just said in the state? What would kind of be some of your higher aspirations?
We want to, of course, keep our state veterans home in Hot Springs up, running, and a viable resource for those aged. I want those three things, Lori, I mentioned: health care, education, and compensation for all veterans. I truly believe education and awareness is key on all levels for all veterans. We talk about stories. I had a veteran from East River the other day found three veterans in a nursing home that weren't receiving any VA benefits. Now, these are World War II gentlemen that probably in the end may get that whole thing paid for and should have been on benefits. But, you know, it's educating our county and tribal service officers that are out there, but it's educating moms and dads and brothers and sisters and everybody on what's available. So I guess one of my bigger goals is to finish the South Dakota Joining Forces, be in all the communities, and have that communication circle closed for any issues that military veterans or their families have. And we can do that. The resources are there, Lori, whether it's VA care, which is excellent in the state, or civilian behavioral management, or education benefits. There's things out there for all of our people.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Dakota Midday. Our guest is the South Dakota Secretary of Veterans Affairs, Larry Zimmerman. Sir, I'm wondering what it's like to be on the receiving end of some of the, looking back at your bucket list, and you have things like, you know, mow a veteran's lawn, or get them, you know, take them out to dinner, or some kind of, you know, unexpected things to think about. What's it like for people to be on the receiving end of a gesture such as that?
Well, you know, I'll step back a few months to a year ago, and the Korean Peace Medal awards we gave to our Korean War heroes across the state. You know, it ended up with well over 1,000 have received that. But you just think about that—the decades and decades those men and women have been home, and tears came to eyes as you're hanging the medal around their neck. I've heard from families that the veterans have not quit talking about it and still are today. A veteran receiving a thank you for your service and just sitting down, it is amazing what that can do for them and their family. And remembering them, the smallest thing is a thank you for their service. If there could be a medal, and we're doing a Taiwan medal now for people that served in Taiwan from 55 to 79. You can't thank people enough after having raised their right hand and saying, I will fight for our freedoms.
Other people that maybe kind of go under the radar, thinking of those Korean War veterans, on my Facebook page today. It gets a little crazy with Desert Storm pictures. I've dated myself now, but some of those my gentlemen friends who served there and others. And I'm wondering if they sort of strike me as some of the forgotten folks as well, that Desert Shield, Desert Storm era.
Yeah, and Desert Storm, Desert Shield, you know, had millions of people serve. Actually, 2.322 million folks served in Desert Shield, Desert Storm. And we have huge issues from that, you know, the different breathing diseases that have came about. Those folks went over there, and you were one of them. What tense situations and moments of not knowing what's happening. And I can't stress enough, when I talk of an era, whether it's Vietnam or World War II or our present Iraq, Afghanistan, or Desert Shield, Desert Storm veterans, my bottom line worry is, if you raised your right hand in any service, in Guard, Reserve, or any active duty, you've signed up to defend your country. You may get called into combat, God forbid, or you may be in any support services across this nation or around the world or in the combat zone itself. But the people that raise their hand have served and should never be forgotten, and hopefully never will in our lifetime and lifetimes past and present and future.
So, to be clear, I did not serve in Desert Storm. I was stationed in the Philippines during that time. So I'm a Gulf War era vet, but not a Gulf War vet. So I just want to make sure that we keep it all straight. So,
do you have a minute for a story about that, Lori?
Always.
you say that you served during that time frame. Uh-huh. I had a Vietnam veteran that was in Vietnam in a horrific conflict, lost many of his men, and talking with another gentleman, and did you serve in Vietnam? No, I didn't go. I was on the coast, on the west coast in the United States. I loaded ships with ammo, and that veteran that had laid in those swamps and fought for his life and lost many men thanked that other veteran from the west coast because the ammunition he loaded in that boat flew over to Vietnam, put on a ship, by helicopter, airdropped to this young man fighting for his life and others, and that ammo wouldn't have got there if it wouldn't have been for the gentleman on the West Coast. So you in the Philippines, and anybody, again, that raised their right hand, the service and sacrifices we made, some were in the thick of it, some weren't, but we all served and all raised our right hand to defend our freedoms.
South Dakota Secretary of Veterans Affairs Larry Zimmerman, you always get me there, and I always get a little teary-eyed when you come on. So thank you again for your service and your continued service to the state. I appreciate you being here today.
And to you, Marine Lori Wells, and all Marines, happy birthday. Hoorah!